Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his own sweet song. Wake up, you sleepy head. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, love and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Jackson announced as permanent boss just days before the Charlton Live Christmas special. Oh yes, it's party time. So hello everybody, a Merry Christmas to you all. My name is Louis Mendes and welcome to the Charlton Live Christmas special. I hope you guys are well. I hope you guys are enjoying the fact that Johnny Jackson is now the permanent boss of Charlton Athletic. We'll be talking about that on this this evening's pod, as well as, of course, having a quick look back at the defeat at Plymouth and looking forward to our Christmas fun and games as it is the Christmas show. Joining me to do that, first up, greetings of the season to Mr. Nathan Muller. How you doing, Nath?
Living the dream, mate. Merry Crimbo to everyone.
Having a good one?
Yeah, not too bad. I ain't got a job this year dressed up as Santa, so yeah, it's all good, mate.
I'm glad you added dressed up as Santa onto that. That could have been a really miserable start to the show, that you'd lost your job and you hadn't told us. But excellent. Okay, and also joining us, do they have Christmas in Wales, Tom Wallin?
They do, and I happen to be dressed all in red for this podcast, which I've only just realised. So yeah. Yeah, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas to you, Tom. Also, Merry Christmas to Mr. Mark Newbury. How you doing, Mark?
I'm good. Well, I'm rocking the Santa beard this year, so I'm all
and the belly.
Go. No, that's all year anyway. So.
Yeah, excellent stuff. And also joining us for this week's Christmas special, this year's Christmas special, I should say, is Mr. Benji Cloak. How are you doing, Ben? Greetings to you.
Season's greetings, Louis. I'm ready to get a bit quizzical later.
Quizzical, absolutely. And you've got your beer on the go as well. We're having our Christmas party remotely, as apparently everyone has to do now. But we'll be having fun and games at the end of the show. But I think we've had the joy of the fact that Johnny Jackson has finally been announced as the permanent Charlton boss. We need to talk about that, I think, before we glaze over yesterday's performance at Plymouth. Tom, about time. You know, we were moaning on Thursday that it still hadn't happened. It finally has happened now. And I'm so excited for the future. This is a man that Charlton fans can get behind. And all of a sudden, like, it makes it so much more special when you're supporting a club when someone you really respect is at the helm.
I mean, I thought that Friday, but come yesterday afternoon, I wanted him out. So, yeah, maybe not all rosy after all. But, yeah, obviously, realistically, very, very happy that it's done. I know we'll talk about the deal and kind of what the ins and outs of that contract are. But, it was a decision that's come far too late, but I'm glad it's been made, and it's obviously the right one. You look at how he's turned the team's fortunes around overall. The run we've been on, it's just fantastic. And, you know, we've seen it on Twitter, we've said it ourselves, it's been doing the rounds everywhere. Charlton seem to do better when they have a Charlton man in charge. And, you know, I grew up with Kerbishley. I was thinking this on Friday, actually, when he got announced. I started supporting Charlton when I was about six or seven. So I had Kerbishley for about 10 years, I think. So I think Johnny Jackson is probably the kind of longest connection I've had to the club. Maybe Chris Powell, but he was obviously on and off. So Johnny Jackson's probably the person that I could kind of link to most at Charlton in terms of playing and now managing. So, yeah, to see him here again. I remember when he retired as a player and I thought the idea of a Charlton team without Johnny Jackson would be very strange. And the fact that he's now our permanent manager, I'm just absolutely buzzing for the future and can't wait to see what we can do under him now.
Yeah, and it did take a while, Nathan, but we've got there in the end. Thomas Sandgaard got his man, as the club website put it. You know, and I guess we've known for a while that he was going to make this decision. It was just a matter of when. But it is nice to get it all sorted and underlined in time for Christmas, and obviously the January transfer window that's going to come after that.
Yeah, I think the key point you said there, mate, was the transfer window, and, you know, hopefully the ones beyond that. Because you're going to need stability there. He's done amazing since, obviously, he came in. Obviously, yesterday was a bit of a disappointing result, but you can't win them all. But it helps him plan now, and it helps him probably identify his targets, which they probably are already. So it gives us that stability that we all needed. I think it's obvious, really, what he's instilled into the lads since he's come in, with the positive results and the way that we're playing. And considering the circumstances of, you know, the injuries we've got at the back, you know, Sean Clare filling in at centre half of one of the three. And so, yeah, it's nice to have it done now, and it stops the, you know, the constant questions, because I'm probably, bet you're glad that you ain't asking him the same question every week. I think it's glad to get it done on the line, that get over the line, and we can focus onto this lovely festive season.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect gift for all the Addicts fans. I mean, a few people picked up on the wording, Mark, of the way that the contract seems to be set out, automatically renew at the end of each of the next two seasons, based on the success on the pitch for the Addicts. So it sounds like it's a performance-related contract. I mean, my view on that, obviously not knowing the ins and outs completely of the deal, was, I guess, well, really, all managerial contracts are performance-related, and if you don't do well enough, you're out. So I don't have any major concern about the way that was worded on the website as it stands. There's nothing that's shocked me in that.
Yeah, contracts in football don't really mean a whole deal. You know, money talks, people walk. We've seen that this season with other clubs and other managers. You know, the Plymouth manager who went to Preston, you know, he was flying high and then they were snapped up, and you're thinking he's just walked out on his contract he had. I can understand it being put in there, and I'm thinking, obviously, if Jacko's convinced that he can do that and he's accepted that, and he knows himself, I mean, if he'd been down the bottom, you know, he could quite easily be getting the bullet anyway. So it's understandable. I'm surprised more managers don't have that outline of their contract. They may do, but it's never been made public before. So, you know, it's if Jacko's happy, we're all happy.
Certainly that is the way. And Ben, obviously, I mean, we've been lucky enough to have watched Jackson as a player. It's been a real enjoyable ride watching him make the step up now and into manager. And I mean, it is exciting to see what he can achieve and what he has done so far in the opening stages. I mean, obviously we lost yesterday's game, but if anyone thought we're going to hire a manager and never lose a game again, then obviously they were living on cloud cuckoo land. It's nice to see that he's been rewarded for what he has done and the remarkable turnaround that he's managed to get into this side after a really atrocious start to the season.
Yeah, he's fully deserved it. I mean, he's been at the club now for a while as a player, so he gets what the club is. And then he's made the transition into assistant manager. Well, first a coach, then assistant manager. And obviously, seems like he's done really well in that job. And then obviously done it with Bo, and then doing it with Nigel as well. So he's gained experience doing that, and he's bided his time, and now he's ready. And there was that option where Sandgaard was saying in the newspapers and that if I brought another manager in, then we'll just go back to the same setup and Johnny could go back as assistant manager. And And I think he even said it himself in an interview in the week that he wasn't happy for that anymore. He's done 10 games, 11 games after yesterday, and he was fully ready now to, well, he's shown he's ready with the performances as well. He's ready to take over. And yeah, we've seen his own little bits of what he's done. He's hugging the players before they all come out to play. And after the game, he's really got that, what can you say, rapport with the players. So they seem like they're all on their side, on his side. So yeah, look, it's working out well at the moment. Obviously, there's going to be challenges coming up, but to be honest, I couldn't think of anyone else in my whole life supporting Charlton. I really want to do well in this job, so I really hope it works, and long may his tenure continue.
Yeah, it sounded like you were thinking out loud there, Ben, when you came up with the word rapport, but well done. The obviously the interesting news that came out yesterday, Tom, was the fact that there's also seems to have been somewhat of a reshuffle in terms of the various, what would you call them, backroom staff? I guess that's not really the sort of leadership on the football side in terms of Jed Roddy. Obviously, it's been the technical director, and Thomas Sandgaard said that he's now going to be focusing more on the women's team, or the ladies' team, whichever way Thomas wants to call it, and obtaining Category 1 status for the academy. So, I mean, that is a bit of a change, and I don't know, I guess you'd call it a step down if he's been focusing mainly on the men's first team, and replaced, it would seem, by Martin Sandgaard, Thomas's son. What did you make of that?
It's an interesting one, isn't it?
Interesting is the word that we like to... throw about a lot, isn't it?
We know Sandgaard's son's been around for a little while, and obviously Jed's come in and we were told his remit when he first came in. I think we could probably argue that a lot of the players that we signed in the summer now are starting to prove a success. I think if you asked us three or four games in, you know, the likes of Clare and Dobbo, etc., you'd be a little hesitant about. But I think we're starting to see what those players can bring, and if Jed was involved in those, I don't think there's any reason to criticise that. But obviously, the academy status is something big for Thomas. And obviously, the women's team, again, bringing that under the hat is probably going to involve more of his time now. And I don't know whether it's Steve Gallen who's had a word or whether it's Sandgaard who's made the decision himself. But either way, I think it's the right call because Gallen should be in charge of recruitment. And it'll be interesting to see how Martin supports him in that. But so long as Gallen's front and centre, whether it had been him or Jed Roddy, I don't really care. So it'll be interesting to see. I wonder if it is, you know, a performance thing, whether he's, you know, as you said, sort of demoted him, if you like, based on what he's done. Obviously, we don't know enough about it to say that. But yeah, I think if Steve's in charge of transfers, then I'm happy, basically. And if we can get that academy status, then obviously that's fantastic news. And the fact the women's team are progressing so well and are part of the CAFC umbrella again is great news as well. So it'll maybe take another half season to see how that exactly plays out, but I think it's probably positive on the whole.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, we'll be looking at that January transfer window now, Nathan, as we've mentioned. Obviously, maybe even what we saw yesterday will give him some food for thought. But if it is Steve Gallen who's going to sort of take this forward with Martin's help or whatnot, I guess, you know, we'll learn a bit more about what Martin can bring to this role, perhaps, by the quality. I mean, I saw someone say on the forum yesterday he wouldn't have got this job at any other club, which is a fair thing to say, obviously, because he's not been in this sort of world before. But you have to hope that he's going to be an advisor and not the top dog, essentially, you know, someone perhaps to learn rather than to be given out instructions.
Yeah, I think that would probably be that's probably the case. Is you're coming in as he's got his foot in the door. I mean, a lot in life is sometimes it's not what you know, it's who you know. And for all I know, I mean, obviously, I don't think he's had any football background whatsoever. He's always been at Zynex, but
He played a little bit, sort of non-league, but
He could be doing his talent and identification qualifications. He could be doing his coaching budget, I don't know. But yeah, I'd imagine he'd be sort of, I'd hope that Steve is going to be leading it, and then he'll just being involved, really. I don't know if he'll be the head honcho or making all the decisions, because then it makes sort of Steve's position redundant. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting transfer window, because I would envisage that we might have to have some going out the door as well as coming in. Because we obviously spent quite a little bit of money in the summer, and we've got quite a decent squad as it is. So, and there's a couple of positions for me that I think we need to definitely strengthen. And yeah, it's going to be interesting on, you know, our January transfer window.
Excellent stuff. Right, well, yesterday was the first game of the Johnny Jackson permanent era. Let's have a listen to the highlights of the defeat down at Plymouth on BBC Radio London. Alex Steadman was alongside me.
The ball's played over the top looking for Jonathan Lecco. Brings the ball down on his chest midway through the Plymouth half, running at the edge of the area now, still with it at his feet. Lecco gets the shot away, forces the goalkeeper into a save, and that's the first real opening. Lecco with the step over, fired it from a tight angle. Cooper behind it, palms it away, and it goes out for a Charlton throw.
He's going to take this free kick, right-footed curler towards the far post. Stockley's unmarked, good save by the goalkeeper. Massive chance for the Addicts. Stockley found himself unmarked, 6 yards out, headed it down into the ground, but Cooper makes the save.
Suarez trying to win that second ball, he heads it up into the air, but it's towards the halfway line by the home side. Dobson stepping in. Home fans want a foul, but nothing doing as Kamara picks it up on the right-hand side. Perhaps one last chance for the home team before half-time as the flag stays down. Hardy in the penalty area, draw the ball across goal. Well saved, comes back out for the rebound, and it's in off the post. The home side have the lead right on the stroke of half-time. Kieran Agard, the save from McGilvray, came back out to Agard. A left-footed shot dribbles in via the post. Right on the stroke of half-time, Plymouth Argyle 1, Charlton Athletic 0.
Yeah, real sucker punch for the away side, and the best time for the home side to score. Like you say, Ryan Hardy just got free inside the area on the right-hand side. Low shot, good initial save by McGivalry, outstretched right leg, but the ball, like you say, rolled straight into the path of Kieran Agard, who made no mistake with the finish. Two or three Charlton defenders on the stretch, couldn't get there, in off the post, and the home side had the lead.
Season under Nigel Atkins, the ball's breaking on the right-hand side for Lecco, into the penalty area. Options in the middle, plays it across towards the far post, cleared for a Stockley over the bar. All of a sudden, out of nothing, Lecco had space on the right-hand side.
They do bring the ball away, and over the halfway line they go with Kamara in their space over on the right hand side for Hardy into the penalty area for on goal. This could be two. Hardy, oh, he skewed it over the bar. Well, I don't know if that bobbled up, because that was a dreadful finish from Ryan Hardy, a man who has 12 goals already. It was a clear opportunity, and he's fluffed his line it once more. Going to be lofted into the penalty area. There's a man unmarked to the far side in Agard. How on earth is he dragged that wide? Unbelievable. Chipped over the top. Agard gets the wrong side of the defenders. Has an easy, it would appear, tap in. He gets it completely wrong and puts it wrong on the far post.
For Elliot Lee, just inside the Plymouth half. Whistles from the home fans. Charlton pushing for a leveller perhaps at the end. Elliot Lee beyond his man. Over to the left-hand side it goes, and Charlie Kirk, men in the middle. Can he get the cross in? And it comes from Kirk towards Gilby, headed clear. Still a chance on the far side as Perrington picks it up. We've almost played the 4 minutes. Out to Dobson, cut out, but it might drop to Elliot Lee inside the penalty area. Puts his defender on his backside. Back to Perrington, driving towards goal, blocked near the goal line. And surely that'll be that as Plymouth look to bring it away over the halfway line. Dobson steps in, wins it back for Charlton. Will we play any more added time? Kirk has it on the left hand side. In comes the cross, looking for Stockley. Mike drops to it. Oh, it's just wide of the far post. Oh, it was a dangerous ball from Charlie Kirk, but it just curled beyond Ryan Innes and couldn't creep in at the far
post. Watch now as Plymouth get ready to take this goal kick. I think we're into the final knock-ins of this game, and there goes the final whistle. So it's the first defeat under Johnny Jackson in the permanent era.
There we go, 1-0 loss at Plymouth yesterday. Not the best way to start, unfortunately, the Johnny Jackson permanent era. In very trying circumstances, Mark. Obviously, we found out before the game that we had a couple of first-teamers missing through COVID. You know, I was convinced on Thursday that the game wasn't even going to go ahead. You know, it was a tough journey to make down there. There were cancelled trains, and you know, let alone dealing with trying not to catch COVID. But I mean, it put us on the back foot straight away, and unfortunately, the performance, other than maybe the first sort of 15-20 minutes where we had a couple of half chances and one really good chance for Jaden Stockley, it reflected a side that's really struggling at the moment without key men.
It did. I mean, we said on Thursday we wondered how we'd cope if we missed a few players. And obviously, you know, Washington, I think, was a bigger miss from Fainwo. Starting Soiree in midfield was a bit of an odd one, but obviously with no Davison on the bench and only young Burstow as a striker, it did make it awkward. And Jacko said himself, because they found out sort of like so late, it had affected how they'd been training and practicing all week. So it is quite hard to deal with. I mean, it's not a disaster. It's 1-0. It wasn't a thrashing. It could have been worse if they'd had their shooting boots on. We have to take it on the chin, unfortunately. We were one of a few games which went ahead, so at least it wasn't called off as everyone had travelled down there, which could have happened quite easily. Think back to Newcastle a few years ago when it was called off with all the fans actually in the ground. So it take it on the chin and, you know, hopefully, you know, the Wimbledon game goes ahead now. If not, it gives us a chance to work on things, get people fit. Obviously, it was good to see Innes. I think that probably came a little too early for him. But I think it's good to get him back on the bench, back with a side. You know, and we do look a bit more of a threat at set pieces. I mean, I listened to your commentary yesterday and you were saying, you know, if we get a chance and he can put it back across, there weren't many teams who could deal with him. So, you know, it's disappointing, but it's not the worst. I mean, it was ironic as soon as Jacko got made manager of our first game, we lose. But it was just one of those things, I think, yesterday. And it's not too disheartening. It wasn't the 92nd minute, which I think would have been a real kick in the knackers. So, no, you know, it was what it was.
Yeah, it would have been a real kick in the, in the ball day. But with the goal itself, that came right at the end of the first half, Benji, and it was frustrating because Plymouth, I felt we'd started well and then faded, but Plymouth hadn't been in that game at all, and it's just a lack of concentration on the stroke of half-time. So these are the things that Jacko will be very keen to make sure that we don't start allowing to eke into our game again, because we did have problems with that at times in years gone by. McGivray made the original save, but there was Kieran Agard to get the second.
Yeah, so frustrating to score a goal just before half time like we did. But yeah, I can't blame Craig really. He saved a low shot across goal. The striker's got ahead of Sean Clare. He's in good space to have a good shot on goal. Craig's made a decent save, but unfortunately the bounce from his boots comes straight out to a guy running in, and all right, he's got a little bit lucky. He's come off the inside of the post and gone in. And I saw McGilvray was having a go at the defenders and that for it, because obviously making a good save and no one there to clear the rebound. But I think it was just a little bit lucky really where it's bounced. But yeah, obviously we have conceded a few goals around that period of time before. But it's just one of those things, really. I think the way the game went, you thought we'd come out firing in that second half after conceding like that, but we didn't. And I couldn't have thought of a worse player to lose than Washington out of that team to COVID. So
yeah, exactly.
I think we struggled without him, and we struggled without anyone from the bench to come on and make a difference. And unfortunately, the players that did come on, or like Charlie Kirk, didn't really show their worth.
Yeah, and that is the main concern for me, Tom, that came out of yesterday's game, is the fact that we can go pretty strong, you know, with the likes of Washington, but as soon as we lose one or two, so like think about when we were playing without Stockley, you know, that defeat away at Shrewsbury, or conceding twice at Morecambe when we didn't defend very well, which we would have been able to do with him, and then going yesterday without Connor, like you lose one or two and all of a sudden in what is a big squad we just look completely lost. You know, there should be players on the periphery, and we will talk about Charlie Kirk. I'll ask Nathan to come up on that as well, but we should be doing better with players who are ready to come in, because it is a big squad.
We debated it on Thursday, didn't we? And we said the big thing is those players need to be ready to step up to the same level as the first 11. And you're right. I'll again let Nath talk about Kirk as an example, but it goes back to the same point we had right at the start when Adkins wasn't picking Washington. For me, Washington front and centre is, you know, first name on the team sheet. He's so crucial to everything we do because of his work rate. Obviously starting to add goals back into his game as well, but he just drives that team forwards, and you're totally right. That was our concern, and so it proved on yesterday. I know we had more than one or two players out, but it makes a big difference, and that's the thing. And it, you know, we do need a striker, so the fact that Washington came out and we didn't really have anyone to fit in. I know Lecco probably isn't quite fit anyway, and obviously Davison couldn't be there, and then when Burstow came on, he's far too young to be putting pressure on him. So we need another striker just to replace him. But just generally, that squad needs to be able to step up to the level that those first 11 have been putting week in, week out. So, yeah, they're going to have to step up, and Jacko will know that. And I'm sure if they're not doing that, he will be the first to say, right, you're not in my side, and I'm going to look for someone in January who can step in and do that job.
Nathan, I mean, you put on Twitter that you think Charlie was brought in to play a 4-3-3. Mm. I mean, it clearly when he had, I mean, even when he did come in under Nigel, he didn't do a great deal. I think he had a decent game up at Fleetwood, but the wing back role, it doesn't seem to suit him. It doesn't suit Pap Suare either, unfortunately. So when Perrington's dropped out, we're struggling down that left hand side. But Charlie came on, and again, I mean, other than that cross right at the very end, which could have crept in or could have fallen to Innes, I don't think we saw enough from him. And I don't know what he needs. Like, is it game time? Because that was his first appearance, I think, in the first team in about a month off the bench. I mean, is that what he needs, game time? Does he need a different system?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Because I think you've got... Like, if there was someone, I can't remember who the lad was who I was exchanging tweets with yesterday, but... You know, he's obviously suffering from confidence, and he needs to play himself into, you know, back into confidence. But for me, if you look how he played at Crewe, you always had Harry Pickering, obviously, on the overlap, and he'd cut inside. So earlier in the season, when we did have the 4-3-3, to be fair to him, we were playing Gunter out there, and Gunter's not a marauding sort of overlapping fullback. So he wasn't really getting the best out of it. Then Jacko's come in; he's not a wing back. You know, he's not that person to run up and down, up and down. His vision is his best asset, and I just don't know where he's going to fit in unless he can somehow, you know, improve in a number 10. But obviously, when me and Tom and everyone else went up to Lincoln, we saw him play there for a little bit, and it wasn't great. So I do feel for the lad, and he does need to get some game time. But you can't drop Elliot or Gilby or, you know, Dobbo there, because they're playing well. So I feel for him, but he just needs to get his head down and try and get into Jacko's plans. But I just don't know where he's going to fit in. He's not like a Connor Washer. Like, maybe he can. He's quick. He's not a slouch or anything. So maybe he can. Maybe that's what Jacko's doing. But in this wing back role, it's pretty limited. Whereas DJ's come in and he's slotted in quite well. And even Leko up at Sunderland, he's done quite well. But that's not Kirk. He never has. And he was a big fish at Crewe, and he's not a big fish at Charlton. So maybe he's just adjusting, like a fish out of water, maybe. But, well, not dead. But do you know what I mean? But, yeah.
Thanks for pointing out he's not dead. Right, let's hear from Johnny Jackson yesterday. I mean, the result yesterday was disappointing, actually, in terms of the playoff race as well. Because obviously Plymouth was sitting sixth before the game. 8 points ahead of us, so if we could have caught up with them, it could have been useful. But now we've fallen down to 10 points away from the playoffs, because Plymouth have moved up a bit. We've caught up with someone else in sixth now, who were 10 points behind. So a bit of a kick in the what-sits. Let's hear then from Johnny Jackson. I spoke to the new Addicts permanent boss after yesterday's 1-0 defeat at Plymouth.
No, a disappointing day. Disappointing result, obviously, and don't think that was our best performance today. A little bit flat. I don't think we've done enough to get anything out of the game. So, it's a disappointing day.
So trying circumstances with the cases around the club, but still, I guess you would have expected a slightly more sort of forward-thinking approach on your side and creating more chances perhaps today.
Yeah. Obviously, I mean, that did disrupt our preparations, losing the two, well, the three lads late on. But it was an opportunity for other people, isn't it? And you know, they have to be ready to grab those opportunities, and I mean, I don't think we've done enough. Anyone done enough as a team today to get anything out of the game? Didn't test their goalie enough, and was poor really in that final third.
And how much of a disruption was that, losing the likes of Connor and Akin so close to the game? I mean, when did you find out? How far along the planning had you gone?
It was later part of the week, yeah. So I mean, obviously, if we'd have known earlier in the week, you know, you prepare a different way. But we've pretty much done all of our match prep with those guys in mind, so we lost them late in the week, and it disrupts your preparations, doesn't it? But, and they're obviously, you know, in Akin and Connor, sort of really two really important players in the first 11, if you like.
And I mean, obviously it's quite a long time still until the Boxing Day game at Wimbledon. If it does go ahead, will they be in contention for that game? Is it still too early to tell?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that yet. Obviously, I mean, our physio as well, Adam Coe, is not here. He's missing out as well, because he's having to isolate. So I need to liaise with him really and find out what the protocols are and when exactly, you know, they tested positive and how long they have to wait and stuff like that. I don't really know the answer to that one.
Coming back to the game, it didn't feel like there was a great deal in the first half, probably Charlton edging it in terms of chances until that goal right on the stroke of half time. Such a disappointing time to concede.
Yeah, I thought I didn't think there was anything in the game. I thought there was a period during the first half where we was on top and we missed a couple of chances. I thought that was the time that we could have really sort of stamped our authority on the game and should have scored in that period, and didn't, sort of let them off the hook a little bit. And think you're just going to go in 0-0 with the game in the balance, nothing in it, and then you sort of give a poor goal away like right on half time, which was disappointing, because then, you know, you're going in there, you're having to come out and chase the game when, you know, there was nothing in it, and we should have gone in level really. Yeah, it was a poor goal to concede from our point of view.
And it did feel like a different game in the second half, where Plymouth were creating chances on the counter attack, and Charlton perhaps struggling to create as many as they would have hoped to.
Yeah, it was. I think they played the conditions well in the second half. They used the wind to their advantage, which perhaps we didn't do well enough in the first half, and we found it difficult to get balls up to Jaden in the second half with the conditions. And then when we did, final for crossing and decision making and execution of the pass, or it wasn't our usual level. So I don't think we've done enough in that second half.
Obviously, if the team are to be aware out the likes of Connor and Akin, which you don't know yet, you'd be relying on some of the players that come in today, the likes of Charlie, you've got a chance off the bench, to the likes of DJ and Jonathan, obviously working together on the right hand side, and then one of them going forward to try and just add a bit more, because they're going to be your attacking players now in the next few games if that is the case.
Yeah, and they've got to take them opportunities, haven't they? We need to find solutions that if we do lose players, that the next people in line need to be ready to step up. We haven't quite done that today. We haven't quite done that for whatever reason. So obviously we'll have to look back at the game and find the areas that we can improve things. And got a good week now to prepare for Wimbledon.
Obviously, one of the good things today, obviously Ryan coming back from such a long time out. I don't know if you sort of had your hand forced a little bit by the people missing that you had to come on so early, but I mean, he's had a torrid time of it, and it's good to see him back on the pitch.
Really good, really pleased for Ryan. Probably the one positive from the day, to be honest. Wasn't my intention to even bring him with us, to be honest. He was gonna stay behind and play for the under 23s on Monday. That was the plan for Ryan. But obviously losing Akin, losing Deji to an injury as well, felt like sort of needed to bring him along really. And then obviously Sean Clare gets a little niggle during the game as well, so probably found him on the pitch sooner than perhaps we thought we would, but great to have it back.
Yeah, what can you say about Deji? I didn't realise he was injured, and obviously Sean coming off.
Yeah, Deji picked up a knock during the week, just an issue with his hip, so, which is what Sean was complaining of as well, so hopefully not too serious either of them, but obviously we need to look after him now and get him right for the next game, hopefully.
Just finally, obviously you are now the permanent manager. I guess in a way nothing really changes, because it's felt like that for a while now, but I mean it's a chance to now take hold of this club and take it forward, and an honour that's been bestowed upon you.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's what I've been trying to do anyway, so you know, it didn't particularly feel like the first day of a new era for me, because I've been doing the job and I've been acting exactly how the manager would act, and that won't change. I'll continue to, you know, to do everything I can to move this club forward. I think it's a great opportunity for me, a great honour, one that I'm very proud of and thankful for. And as you know, with me, I'll give it everything that I've got to move the club forward, and I'm sure we can do it together.
Cheers, Johnny. Hope you have a nice Christmas.
Cheers, Lou.
And you, mate. Concerned, Johnny, is it with the COVID cases as a manager? It must be tricky for you going into games not knowing who's going to be available, really.
Yeah, it is tricky. It's proving difficult at the moment. I thought we was doing okay. We was quite lucky. And then, obviously, this week, I think it's just gone a bit crazy, isn't it? Everywhere, really, in society, in football. There's hardly any games on today. So you do wonder, you know, what's going to happen, especially, you know, back in London next week. I don't know what the situation with other clubs is, but yeah, it's happening everywhere, isn't it?
It must be so hard for you going into quite a congested, you know, festive programme. No one really knows which games are going to be on and off.
No, you just have to prepare properly, but it's just difficult when you have done preparation all week and then that happens and you have to change around what you was going to do. But it's just the nature of the world at the minute, isn't it? You have to be ready for these uncertainties.
There we go. That was Jacko after the loss up at Plymouth. He knew it wasn't good enough. Again, Mark, I think I've spoken before about how I find it interesting about how he will speak about certain players. Like, so I asked him there about Charlie, sort of wrapped up with DJ, who didn't have the best game, and Lecco, who I thought started okay, but like everyone else, faded as well. About players taking chances, because between DJ and Lecco, there's two there who will be trying to ease each other out of the side most of the time, and obviously Charlie coming on. And he was quite clear about that. He didn't think anyone really took their chance, but he doesn't do a Bayer and come out and say, well, you know what, Charlie Kirk was rubbish or anything like that. He's not. He'll manage things slightly differently.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's as in your face as Bowyer was about certain players. But he was honest enough in his opinion. I mean, when he spoke afterwards to Scotty Minto, and, you know, he was saying, you know, we weren't good enough, we didn't do enough, we weren't on our game. You know, we can work on it and we can go back, analyse it and see where we went wrong and see what we did badly and see what we did well and work on it, which is all you can expect him to do. I mean, I think he's going to dig out someone by name straight away? No. I think if you'd had maybe a run of one or two bad games for him, he might say, you know, he's dropped because he hasn't been doing, you know, what I want him to do. But he is, it's going to sound funny, because for someone who's been doing the caretaker job and been there for so long, he is, you know, still going to find his feet with his style. You know, the players obviously respect him and they're going to listen to him. So if he goes in and say, you didn't do enough, that player's going to know they didn't do enough. They can't turn around and say to his mate, well, actually, I thought I was playing well. They're going to go, you know what, probably I didn't, so I know I have to work harder. Did Kirk do enough to force himself up the ladder in Jacko's mind? No, probably not. So, you know, that's down to him now to see how he reacts to the work.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's have a quick look at some messages. Don't want to dwell too much on the defeat because it's meant to be Christmas. We're meant to be having fun. We have got our Christmas quiz coming up in a few moments' time. But Dan said that glad that Jacko's finally the manager. Team looked tired, though, yesterday without two of our better players in Fameway and Washington. I just hope that Santa Claus keeps COVID in his sack. You don't keep it there, but for the rest of the team, so we can see who is playing on Boxing Day. Yeah, it will be interesting to see. I did ask Jacko whether Connor and Akin will be back. Sounds like timing, because it depends when they first. We'll find out sooner rather than later. If it doesn't help, the physio's also got it or is isolating at least, so that doesn't help. Stu says to me they look jaded and lackluster after the initial first 25 minutes. I thought we had control, but lacked a midfield from there on. And Tom said I don't think we'd have lost yesterday if JJ had included Martin Sangard on the bench. He's got a hell of a shot on him and knows a lot more about football, having played it at school, I hear. Yeah, and Alan says, tired, flat, missed Connor massively. Definitely need a striker in January. Another left wing back, also as Suarez, definitely not grabbing any opportunities. Could JJ have gone to 4-4-2 or another formation when things were not happening for us? Wish everyone a Merry Christmas and hopefully a better 2022. Right, a couple more emails as well. Reg said, finally, Johnny Jackson, our manager. That's it. That's a tweet. Wife is also happy. Half season ticket purchased, even though I suspect we may not be going to a match anytime soon. Yeah, and maybe we'll talk about it very slightly in a few moments' time. At Squared said, another poor performance in difficult conditions. Is anyone detecting a pattern? Except this time we're missing two of the better players, and boy did it show. Being on top of the first half an hour, we seemed to run out of steam in the end, and Plymouth could have won by more. Curbs and Brownie both said it, we looked flat. Nobody in the side seems to be firing on all cylinders except for McGilvray, who pulled off another couple of excellent saves. Even our midfield three of Lee, Dobson and Gilby, who have been excellent in recent weeks, seem to be lacking energy. Big question marks over Suarez, Kirk and Jaisimi, who all had poor games. The positive was a return of Innes, even though it was at the expense of Clare, who had a solid game of defence. Overall, our bench is currently far too weak, as we have nobody who can come on to change a game. It would have been better for us if the match was postponed, as playing without the informed Washington and Fameway didn't do us any favours. It's clear now that Jacko's been confirmed as manager. Thomas needs to show some shrewd business in the transfer window in order to keep our playoff dream alive, as we've far too many squad players who are just making up the numbers. There are several that could easily be offloaded or farmed out, and we wouldn't miss them. The result isn't a major setback to our hopes, but we can't afford to have too many performances like that from now on, as our season started so poorly. Finally, he says, perhaps it would have been better to have a circuit breaker for a few weeks, as otherwise matches are going to be decided by how many of the team's key players are out missing due to COVID, which would be ridiculous. Let's see what happens in the next few days. And I think, Ben, you're probably the perfect person to ask about that, actually, because, I mean, you were due to go to the game yesterday. Your train was cancelled anyway, and that sort of made your mind up for you. But, I mean, the main thing for me yesterday was the uncertainty of fans travelling all the way to Plymouth at what is clearly a difficult time, not knowing if the game was going to get called off by the time we get there. And there was a really late call-off in the Premier League yesterday where fans had to travel. It's not, for fans, it's not fair. Before we even asked the question about, well, you know, we had to face Plymouth without two of our best players when they didn't have any issues with COVID at all. So it's a bit unequal there. Obviously, injuries happen in other seasons, but this is slightly unprecedented. So, I mean, would it be better to have a break? I mean, it would cause one hell of a pile up at the end. But, I mean, you were a perfect example of someone who didn't really want to go all the way to Plymouth and battle through train cancellations when you're not entirely sure you need to.
Yeah, very true. I did think with the EFL testing coming in that we might have more players test positive and the game get called off. I'm self-employed myself, so if I did catch COVID going on a busy train or in a ground where it's going round at the moment, then I don't get paid if I'm not working. So that did come into my mind, and I saw the train got cancelled, and I just thought, do you know what? It seems like the odds are against me to go today. But it's obviously a massive question going around. You've got Thomas Tuchel today saying that this morning Chelsea had some positive results come through and he wanted the game get called off. You got Jurgen Klopp saying he's not going to sign anyone if they're unvaccinated. And then in the week, the EFL put out something to say that 41% of the players aren't vaccinated in the EFL. So
yeah, and 25% overall have no intention of getting vaccinated. And I think some are still catching up. So, yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, yeah, you look at yesterday, and obviously it went against us. We had two of our biggest players missing in Famo and Washington, who have been doing brilliantly for us. And obviously the game went against us. So we look at that and go, oh, that's probably one of the reasons why we lost. And I'm sure other EFL and Premier League teams, I'm sure Chelsea would be saying, oh, we didn't win today because of players missing. So it's a tough question. It's up to your authorities. But I think money comes into it as well. You've got the Premier League, you've got the EFL all put money into Sky Sports and that kind of stuff. They're being funded by them and they want as many games to go ahead as possible. But it probably would make sense to have a break now. I mean, look, I've got my ticket for Wimbledon and I'm really looking forward to that. But it just makes sense to have every player like ready to go again. But who knows how long it's going to go on for us. It's tough to know when to stop. And of course, with the World Cup happening in the winter, there's already a tight schedule of when the league start again. So, that's not one for me to answer that one.
Well, you gave a pretty solid answer there. I mean, you outlined pretty much all the issues with those who do have to make this decision. I admit it is a tough one, but because we lost, I wish the game was off. There we go. That's how that's how cheeky I am on that subject. Right, let's have a break. When we come back, it's Christmas party time.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Jaden Stockley.
Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live, our final show of 2021. We don't have shows over the Christmas break. Whether we'll have football over it is another matter at this moment in time, which we don't know. But we certainly won't be having any shows until we come back in January. So I hope you guys have an excellent Christmas to celebrate. As always, we're going to have our Christmas quiz now. We've split the four chaps up into two teams. There's going to be 10 questions for each team. Some that I'm going to ask, some audio questions as well. Obviously, whoever gets the most points out of that will win the coveted prize of the 2021 Christmas Quiz Charlton Live winner. I can't remember who won last year, actually, but I'm sure the boys will tell me in a few moments' time. It was a draw last year. That was it. It was a draw because I wrote a tiebreaker and you were both exactly the same point. So try not to do that again this year if that happens. Right, we've got two teams. So the first team is the return of the successful, at least one year, Nathan and Tom. Nathan and Tom, well done for teaming up again. Remind me of your quiz team name.
I don't know. Is it Dragon and Nighthawk or is it Nighthawk and Dragon?
Dragon and Nighthawk, son.
That's the one.
Have we decided which one's which?
I don't know if we ever did.
I don't know. You can call me whatever you want, Tom.
You'll have to call me Nighthawk.
Nighthawk.
You can call me Dragon.
So Dragon and Nighthawk in one. And then Mark and Ben, what's your team name for the quiz?
We went with Next Knee Slide, Please.
Next Knee Slide, Please. Very good. Right, so Mark, as you just spoke, do you want to go in team one or team two? So that decides which questions you get.
We'll go first.
First, okay. So you are, was it Next Knee Slides? Slides, Please. I've got to write this down on my Excel spreadsheet. As always, I've done an Excel spreadsheet. Dragon and Nighthawk. It still doesn't sound very Christmassy, Nathan, but you've made your decision. Right, obviously, there will be a sound to tell you when you've got the answer correct or wrong. First, so if you get the answer to a question wrong, you're going to hear from Nigel Atkins.
For me, that's a real kick in the,
in the baldo, I guess. And also, if you get the question right, you're going to hear from Steve Brown. Steve Brown, the only time we've ever heard him express joy at anything, but that was after Connor Washington's second goal, or the second goal against Plymouth last time out. Right, so let's dive into the questions. So the first few questions I'm going to ask you, you're allowed to confer between the two. There's no stealing of points. There's a lot of rules for what is essentially not a real quiz because no one gets anything. But anyway, right, so question number one goes to Next Knee Slides, Please. How many league games, and no cheating, because I know we're doing this, we used to do this in the studio back in the day, so I'll be able to check if you were cheating, but scouts on it, please, boys. Question number one, how many league games have we lost at home this season?
Oh, blimmin' heck, man.
Yeah. Could be in the 30s if Nigel Atkins was still here.
Right, let's go from the top, Mark. Wigan, Accrington,
you got 10
Bolton.
Seconds.
Bolton. Oh, come on. Wigan, Accrington, Bolton.
How many we played?
Oh, mate.
Five.
Oh, I can't.
Four.
No. Come on. Give us
five or six.
Five. Well, I wouldn't go that high. Yeah. Wigan, Bolton, Accrington, definitely. Name me some more.
Quite a long 5 seconds, this, Luke.
Yeah, I know.
Come on.
This is only league games
question.
As well. Yeah, that's the idea of the quiz.
You want to say, well, you think it's three then?
Well, that's the only three I can think of.
Right, final answer, please, now.
Yep, three.
Three.
Incorrect, four. The game you forgot was at home to Cheltenham. There we go. Right, and one for Dragon and Nighthawk, the Christmas duo. How many league games have we lost away from home? This season, obviously, not ever, because we'd be in the thousands.
It's got to be pretty much all of them.
That's what I was thinking. Is it including just league games, is it?
League games, yeah.
So we've played, 20? We're halfway, haven't we? So we've played 23. So we've played 11 or 12 away.
Yeah, so what, Lincoln?
How many have we won so far this season? At all?
Well, our first win away was the day I got back from holiday, but I can't remember when that was, and that was in October, early October.
You can't remember where you went on holiday?
No, I can't remember what the game we won, and I was coming back on holiday that day because I remember listening to it at the airport.
Where's this countdown clock at?
Yeah, it's got to be seven or eight, I reckon.
I don't know, I reckon. I'll say six, but if you want to go seven or eight.
Right. I'll say six.
Final answer, please.
Seven.
Well, it's just occurred to me, I forgot to play the sound. So you've gone for seven.
For me, that's a real kick in the.
Tell me it's six.
Six.
Oh, mate.
I forgot to play the sound for Mark and Benji, so here you go.
For me, that's a real kick in the,
I don't want you to miss out. Right, next question is for Next Knee Slides, Please. Who was Connor Washington's first league goal against this season?
Oh, simples. The penalty against Oxford, that was...
Yeah.
Was it, Mark? That was our first... Come on!
Correct. First point on the board, so 1-0 to Next knee slice, please. I can't get over these team names. Right, a similar question for Dragon and Nighthawk. Who was Jaden Stockley's first league goal against this season?
Crew, 100%. I see he got the early header back post. Jaden scored second.
Was that before Milton Keynes, yeah?
Yeah, it's league games, isn't it?
Yeah, league games only.
Yes, it's the game it's the game we bought Dave with me, 2-0. Yeah, 100%.
For me, that's a real kick in the, you know...
Milton Keynes was right there. That was our third league game of the season. So after two questions apiece, it's next knee slice, please, who are winning the Christmas quiz by 1-0. Right, our first audio question is coming up for next knee slice, please. I'm going to play you the commentary of one of our goals this season. I need you to tell me who scored it and who it is against.
Oh, Blackett-Taylor controls immediately inside the penalty area. Blackett-Taylor, ball across, goal! First touch to get past Freeman, ball across goal. It's on hand.
So, who scored that goal and who was it against? Next knee slides, please.
Oh man, so it's equaliser. Freeman, who's Freeman? Equaliser. Boy, do you think him? Portsmouth, when we equalised. Are you there, Mark?
I'm sorry, mate, I'm just thinking.
I think Ben's implying you're not bringing much to the table there, Mark.
So, and it sounds like,
but it sounds like it
there's
very...
the impact. There's the impact. So it's as if it's like, we just brought him on, so we wouldn't bring him on early. Maybe, I can just think Portsmouth when we scored.
Who scored? Which one did Leclerc,
wasn't it?
Lavelle scored, didn't he?
From that game, I remember it was 2-2 against Portsmouth. You had Clare and then Davison equalised in the last minute. We made it 1-1, they made it 2-1, 2-2. Well, not last minute. Davison scored about 4 minutes ago.
Go with that then, mate, Pompey and Davison.
No, yeah, it was Clare, I think, that one.
Clare.
So what do we have to do, Louis?
You need to tell me what your final answer is. I need the goal scorer in the game.
Oh, I'd say Clare against Portsmouth then.
For me, that's a real kick in the, you know.
Josh Davison against Portsmouth. You're so close. You guys are really good at getting
Josh Davison. Who scored the last goal then?
Josh Davison scored the equaliser about 3 minutes from time, as you mentioned.
What, he scored both?
No, Clare got the first one. Davison got the second one.
I thought it was the second half goal.
No, it was an impact because I think Blackett-Taylor had only just come on. Right, boys on the Dragon and Nighthawk. Dragon, are you enjoying the quiz?
Not yet, no.
Nighthawk?
Absolutely not, no.
Excellent stuff. Right, I need you to tell me who scored this goal for the Addicts.
Lee sends it forward. Again, on the run. Push Edmunds Green out of the way. He does, and he's on the ball now. Oh, Stockley on the overlap. Takes a shot. He's in! Chandler, the equaliser. We'll complain there was a push on Edmunds Green. Did enough. Got the ball in his feet.
Who scored the goal and who is it against?
Edmunds Green. I can't even think who he plays for.
Yeah.
The goal rings a bell.
Yeah.
So Lee signed quite late, didn't he?
Yeah. I think it was at home because I was there. It was just before I went away. It was Tuesday night.
Can you remember where you went on holiday?
Yeah, Mexico, but that doesn't help us.
No.
So, did we play Tuesday night? Was it Rotherham?
We played Rotherham on a Tuesday. I know we lost to Stanley on a Tuesday.
I think it was Rotherham.
Yeah. I'm going to go with you this time.
You scored that late goal. It was 1-0, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's when we played really well, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I'd assume it's Connor. Because...
Yeah, that was last 15 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And they went 1-0 up, didn't they? Yeah, all right, we'll go with that one then. Go on then.
Final answer?
Yeah, Connor Washington.
Against?
I think Rotherham.
Go on, the Welsh.
Well, there you go. Three questions each, and it's one apiece in the Charlton Live Christmas quiz. Right, question four. Next knee sides, please. Other than Craig McGilvray, who has made the most league starts this season? Play along at home. No cheating.
Famo.
Yeah? Cool. You're confident there, Marky.
That was some confidence there from the chef.
Yep.
Yeah?
Yep.
Well, if you're so confident, I won't go against you.
Yes, final answer?
Yep.
Oh, Mark, excellent super. Stuff.
Yeah, even with you. How did you know, Mark? Yeah, I reckon he's cheating. Even with...
What do you consider cheating, Lou?
Looking at the stats.
No. How about just being generally brilliant?
Oh, there we go. Well, I just didn't expect it of any of you, really, so I'm really pleased. Right, on to Dragon and Nighthawk, then. Maybe a slightly tougher question, but...
cheers, mate.
Cheers. It was luck of the draw, whichever one that Mark chose, whether he wanted to go first or second. So I'm asking you, who has had the most league appearances off the bench this season?
Corey?
That's a tasty little one.
Tasty little pig in blanket.
Well, who's...
Ben Watson came a lot, didn't he, for the first part? He was coming
on. I'm just trying to think, if we were always losing, the way I'm trying to think of it logically, but I could be wrong, mate, is someone who could change a game. Yeah. And the only thing I can think of is someone with pace, and it would be like
Blackett, Taylor, Corey Leco or Leko. Yeah. Because Kirk was coming on a lot at the start as well.
Hmm. I'm trying to think, yeah, like you could
your
bring
first
old...
thought was Blackett Taylor.
Yeah, but so... that's just me just being me, and I could, and obviously my brain don't work normally at the best
no,
of times.
I know that.
That is a problem you've had a lot, Nathan, you being yourself.
This is what we struggle with every year, but...
Dragon and Nighthawk bickering already.
If I had to have a stab, that's who I would say, but do you think of anyone else?
No, it feels right in the chestnuts. So
right, and that is a Christmas nut. So right, let's have your final answer, please, chaps.
Corey Blackett Taylor.
Correct.
Go on, son. Get in there.
Nine appearances off the bench before yesterday, and he didn't come on yesterday, so it remains at nine. So wow, what a game this is! What a quiz we're having. Four questions for each side, and it's 2-2 as we go in to round number five. Next knee slides, please. What is the earliest goal we've scored this season in the league?
Oof. Mark, I think I know that one.
Oh, yep. Benji. Benji's at the
I
wheel.
I was there.
He was there.
Minutes, wasn't mad. It was DJ at Morecambe, surely.
Yeah, it was about two minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, that was
answer.
Well early.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, I'm with you, mate. Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, second minute, DJ scored against Morecambe. 3-2 to next knee slides, please. Right, earliest goal we've conceded this season, Dragon and Nighthawk. And it sounds like a harder question, but actually there's two answers that came in the same minute, as in not in the same game, but there's two teams that scored against us in the same minute this season. So if you get either of them, I'll give you the point.
Who's that team we were pony against? Tom?
Well, you're going to have to narrow it down a bit.
Where do you want me to start?
No, so we were home. We were definitely at home. Why didn't
Cheltenham.
Go?
Cheltenham, yes. We were absolutely awful.
That was the one where I didn't want to go because I didn't want to risk not being able to go on holiday.
Yeah,
I went the week after. And who scored? They scored after like 4 minutes or 3 minutes.
Did they?
I'm sure someone scored early.
It was definitely early.
I mean, it was first 10 minutes. I'm just thinking.
Do we have to have the player?
Nah, just the team. Because I'm.
I can't think of many others where it's been first 10, and that was definitely first 10 minutes.
The only other one would be Bolton. Obviously, hammered us. But yeah, I think all.
Didn't Pompey score early as well? Didn't they score a banger? That Curtis dude.
Oh, he did, didn't he?
I don't know. I can't remember who went 1-0 up in that one though. Or did we?
No, I can't remember that.
Go 1-0 down.
I'm pretty sure.
Cheltenham, we were definitely bad, and it was an early goal. So I'd be more confident.
Yeah. So let's have your final answer.
All right, Cheltenham.
Yeah, well, Cheltenham and Portsmouth both scored at the Valley after 6 minutes, so you could have had either. Now, this is a round I've been looking forward to. It's another audio round. It's one we've done in years gone by, normally with the current manager, because of the way the season's gone, it's with the former manager, Nigel Adkins, gives his post-match reaction to me after a game. So I'm going to play it to you next knee slides, please. I need you to tell me which game is Nigel Adkins talking about here.
And then we look at the 90th minute. It's 1-1. We're wanting to try and win the game. It's a stonewall penalty. It's a stonewall penalty. The player has grabbed Jaden Stockley's shirt, drags him to the ground, kicks him while he's going to the ground. Both the linesman and the referee have gone, yes, he's pulled his shirt, but not enough for the penalty. We go down the other end of the pitch from that. They get a corner. Second phase, could we have stopped the cross? Yes, but the cross has come in. The player is offside and the cross comes in. So for me, that's a real kick in the, fine margins. Didn't go our way today.
So what game is Nigel Adkins talking about there? Next knee slides, please.
Well, Is he saying we lost that game, Mark?
Yes, we did. We lost 2-1 in the last minute.
It was, I left the game early at Lincoln and it was 1-1. And then I...
It's for Lincoln one because it was the throw-in at the end. I'm sure
yeah,
it came
they
across.
Had a goal, I thought we had mentioned they had a goal disallowed.
Just before.
And then... Yeah, and then they scored because I went out of Tesco. Anyway, no one needs to know that. But as I went to the station,
what did you buy at Tesco?
A couple of beers. Cause
right, no, we don't need to know it yet.
Ah, okay. Well, I can only think of Lincoln because I remember walking out of there, coming out and going, oh, no.
And it was a draw when you left, yeah?
It was a draw. It was 1-1 when I left.
And we definitely lost that one. So.
And we definitely lost in the end.
Yeah. We'll go Lincoln then.
We'll go Lincoln.
Correct. Excellent answer in there from the chap, sir. And it's next knee slides, please, who have taken a 4-3 lead. That interview, I was asked on Friday on Radio London, what was the most awkward interview? That was definitely the most awkward one because I was fuming with the performance. And then he came out and said we lost on fine margins. I went up to Ollie and asked him if he was taking a piss. Obviously not when Nigel was there, but he was sacked a few days later, so it doesn't matter. Right, this one is for Dragon and Nighthawk. What game was Nigel Atkins talking about here?
Second half, obviously, it's a close game. They've gone and scored. Gone and scored 73rd minutes, well, that's 73rd, 75th minute. And then we've got to try and get ourselves back in the game. Connor Washington could have just scored straight after that. Josh Davidson hits the post. But then they've gone down the other end and scored a couple of later on goals. A couple of deflections in there. It obviously makes the scoreline and the mood around the whole stadium one that we don't want.
What are we saying, boys?
Oh, I'm almost certain that's Bolton.
Yeah, I was going to say it's going to be because the only...
Bolton
times
of the
I was mad was Bolton and Crew.
Yeah, well, he claimed we were all right, didn't he? And then he claimed it was them late goals, but we were just crap the whole way through. And
yeah,
because
it was
just
Bolton.
Talking at the end about the crowd, so it's definitely at home.
Yeah, because it was. But
that's
what
that's
I thought.
The only one we've been hammered, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, and Bolton and Stanley were the only two that I remember that it was toxic.
I'm pretty sure
but I wasn't there for the Bolton game.
I'm pretty sure it was Bolton.
All right, we'll
honestly,
go with.
I think
we'll go you. We'll go you, Wilshie.
Yeah, I'm going Bolton.
There
we go. Wow, what a quiz this is turning out to. 4-4 after six questions apiece. Right, on to next knee slice, please. How many clean sheets have we kept in the league this season?
You're asking that to us?
Yeah.
Oh, blimmin' heck, man.
Probably more than we think.
Well, yeah, because people have been praising Craig of late.
Yeah.
Well, let's think. Go from the top again.
No, I'm going to have to speed you up. You're going to have to start.
Seven?
Yeah. I'd say seven or eight. I think you've got a few lately. Burton game. Obviously, Cambridge. Plymouth at home.
Go eight then. Go eight then, Ben.
What's the final answer? Oh,
you're putting the pressure on.
Ben?
Yeah, go on then. We'll say eight. Because I think of the two.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Eight.
Come
on. Eight clean sheets. Right, Dragon and Nighthawk. How many times have we failed to score in the league this season?
God.
Right, definitely first game of the season. Can't remember. Wednesday.
Yeah, Sheffield
that's
Wednesday.
One. Who's the one? Who's
Wigan,
the game
we lost.
Yeah, that's when Humphreys come off the bench and spanked his ball.
Is it just in the league, did you say?
Yeah, but again, I don't want you to sit here and go through the entire fixture of this, otherwise we're going to be here forever.
I don't think there's many more than that.
We had a couple of recent ones, though. Shrewsbury was late on.
Failing to score lasts the whole game, really. It's not late on.
5-4-3
I think three. Three. I think three.
I think five.
I can't think of any others.
Go ahead. Right, what's your final answer?
Three.
For me, that's a real kick in the.
Four.
You know.
Four is the answer. I'm afraid it was three before yesterday. If you'd answered, if we'd done the quiz yesterday.
Forgot about yesterday.
Yeah. Right, now this is a well, talking of forgetting about yesterday, let's hope that he didn't, because this is to find out who was really paying attention yesterday. A question from yesterday's game for next knee slice, please. Who was the first sub that we bought on?
Was it Kirk for Soiree?
Whoa. Was it?
Kirk for Soiree, wasn't it? I think it was the first one.
If that's your first answer, go with it. I didn't really...
I think it's Kirk for Soiree. Burstow came on last.
That makes sense, because Soiree...
Someone else came
read,
in
was pretty
after
packed,
Kirk,
so
I think it's Kirk for Soiree. Yeah.
Go for it, Mark. Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh,
there we go. Well, 6-4 lead now for next knee slides, please. So let's see how much attention Tom and Nath were paying to yesterday's game. Who got the only yellow card of the game?
Gilby.
Right, absolutely no messing from Muller there. Superb answering. Right, we're into round nine. So there's two questions left to go. Currently, it's 6-5 to next knee slides, please. So they could take a real commanding lead here. They could go 2 points ahead with only two questions left for the opposite team. So this is another goal. I don't need the name of the goal scorer, but it's a team that scored against us. I need you to tell me which team scored this goal against us.
Thompson gets the last header clear, headed back in. It's going to drop. Oh, it's gone in. Joel Nassona should have been a foul in there. The referee says no. And the home side have got the goal.
I got that.
It's absolutely a foul.
Benji, you sound confident.
Yeah, that's that one where we thought it was a foul when Dobson went to head it away and they pushed Dobson in the back against Shrewsbury. Mark, you happy with that?
Yes, happy, mate.
Wow. That is a big, big point for next knee slides, please. 7-5, and Dragon and Nighthawk only have two questions. So the best you can hope for here is a tiebreaker. You need to get this right to remain in the game. Which team scored this goal against us?
Drive forward for the visitors on his left foot. Will go for goal and manages to convert and have a third. He cut inside Albie Morgan with a shot on the edge of the penalty area. Cool out. The Charlton defence and the Charlton goalkeeper. Make it 3-1.
What are we going for? You need this, boys.
We're at home, 3-1 down.
Accrington and Bolton are the only ones we've lost by more than three, right?
Bolton, we lost 3-2.
The last answer. So it's I just feel like it can't be Bolton again, so I want to say Accrington.
I don't know. But didn't they have that goal? But Accrington, Pell had the two worldies.
What did he say? He just said the score was going 3-1, didn't he?
Yeah, and it was a deflection. I think it was that Bolton game.
You can hear the desperation in their voices here.
I think it's a Bolton game.
Oh, I don't know. You said you weren't at Bolton, though.
No, I watched it when I was in Cos.
Okay. Surely he's not putting Bolton as the answer twice, though.
How does the mind of Mendes work? That's what you need to know.
Don't call him Shirley.
I just can't remember. What was that? Pell got two, and I just can't remember if the other one was a deflection. Right, go with your gut, because I wasn't at Bolton, so I could be thinking of something completely different. So you think it's Accrington, then...
Let's get a final answer then, please, chaps. You need this to stay in the game.
I'm going Accrington.
Get in there.
Ethan Hamilton for Accrington. Well, so they remain in the game. Dragon and Nighthawk into the final two questions. I'm going to switch the order around here, because obviously if Team 1 get it straight away, then that just ruins any chances. So Team 2, it's the Johnny Jackson special round. Dragon and Nighthawk, you need this to stay in the game. How many Premier League goals did Johnny Jackson score during his career?
Premier League?
You should know this. You're a Spurs fan, aren't you?
Well, yeah. Jacko, I know he scored against us but it was a cup game, the free kick. I think it was only the one.
Isn't that the only one he scored? I seem to remember an interview where he talks about it. Oh, was it?
That was when we went to, when I think Chris Powell scored, and then I think Jose Dominguez come off the bench and tore us apart.
If that was cup, then he never scored. I'm pretty sure that's the only goal he ever scored for them.
But then surely old Maritime Mendes won't put zero in a quiz.
So it has to have been in the league then. So it's got to be one.
We'll go one then. Go on, boy.
I thought you was talking yourself out.
That feels like when you have a shot that's going 25 yards wide and accidentally deflects in, because that goal against us was his only Premier League goal. It was a 4-2 win for Spurs at the Valley. I don't know why he bothered scoring that. He hates Spurs because he's an Arsenal fan. He loves Charlton. I don't know what he was thinking. Right, so it's 7-7 going into the final question for Team 1. On the Johnny Jackson special, our new manager. This is for the title. What part of London was Johnny Jackson born in?
Easy.
I will take
Arsenal
the borough.
Arsenal fan. What? What do you mean? You're surely asking for north, south, east, west, right?
No, I'm asking for the... to clarify, I'm asking for the borough of London that Johnny Jackson was born in.
Well, Arsenal's in Islington.
I think it's Camden, because I remember him saying once on a podcast, because he was friends with a tennis player that come from the same place. I met him at Wimbledon once. Jamie Ward.
Fascinating
That's
insight.
Tough to ask us what flipping borough. I thought you meant what North London. That
no.
was obvious.
Well, what country was he born in? Come on. This is a real quiz, Ben.
You're asking them at what goal he scored at when I was at the game.
All right, Benji, I can see the pressure's getting to you. Just answer the question. Come on, this is
leave
for the
leave
win.
It out, Benji, mate, it's all a bit fun.
I think it's Camden, just because I remember it being, like, iconic, but I know it's North London 100%.
Okay, we'll go with Camden then, mate.
Is that your final answer, Ben?
Yeah.
This is for the quiz.
It's going to have to
Benji
be,
and his tennis
playing, sure,
mate,
it.
Camden.
Yeah, Wald, tennis player, mate, if that gives me a point.
Yeah. There you have
Come
it.
On.
They take
well
it
played,
at the
fellas.
Very death.
Well played.
By 8-7. Next knee slides, please, are the Charlton Live Christmas quiz winners in 2021. Dragon and Nighthawk, what do you have to say for yourselves?
Well played, fellas. I just think that we started like a little stumble bum at the beginning, and we've only got ourselves to blame, and we just go again next year.
Change of manager.
Talked ourselves out of 2 points, haven't we, there?
Yeah, we did.
2 points, I mean, that would have won it. You could have won it 9-8. I mean,
that's annoying. Just out of interest, in the spirit of Christmas, can we get 0.5% points of those first two? Because like we just no, all right, fair enough.
No,
no, but
can't,
well done, fellas. No, that was yeah.
Even all right, yeah. Give them
the
0.5.
Yeah,
all right, so I'll give you 0.5. You've lost 7.5.
Could well, I? No, we had two. We had two questions that we got in reverse order, you know. So, but no, it's fine. Listen,
what was the tiebreaker? What was the tiebreaker?
The tiebreaker. I mean, we ain't got much time. I'll tell you guys afterwards because we have gone well over time. We'll play the tiebreaker after. I'll stick it in as a bonus feature on the end of the pod. Right. So, we've come to the end. Thank you to everyone who's listened to Charlton Live throughout 2021. As I said, this will be our last show until the new year. We're praying that we're going to get to see some football in between now and then. But obviously, if you guys can stay safe in between now and then to make sure that you can enjoy Christmas with your families. And I look forward to seeing you guys, as I said, in the new year. Thank you to everyone who's been part of the show this year, including those boys who've been on it this evening. Nathan, Tom, Mark and Ben.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Merry Christmas, one and all. I will play you out with our favourite moments from the season so far. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Gunter with the cross. This is Sergio Cross. Try a save! That's a lovely header. It's a lovely try a save. It's a Stockley. Can he get there? Stockley, still with it. Jaden Stockley!
In the penalty area, Lecco with the shot and scores! Jonathan Lecco, cross goal, comes to Stockley! What a finish that is from Jaden Stockley! Cross towards the far post, can Stockley get there? He can!
That's it!
He's gone in, has it?
Yes!
Now it has! And Sean will have the goal!
Here is the final whistle! Sean have come to the Stadium of Light in Johnny Jackson's first game in caretaker charge. And I've come away with 3 points.
Come away with 3 points and a clean sheet is couldn't have asked for any more.
Ball into the box, a dangerous one. Stockley can't flick it on, but Lee! It's gone straight in.
Washington steps up, right footed, and scores! Charlton make it 2.
Drills it.
Spilled by Dahlberg, comes off Stockley, and Charlton have their third.
Barrington with a header, and it got beyond the keeper, it has! And he's got his goal!
Push Edmonds Green out of the way, he does, and he's on the ball now. Up Stockley on the overlap, takes a shot, he's in! Charlton had the equaliser!
I see him, he lifts it into the area, flicked on by Fabbo, and there's the goal! Headed home by Purrington.
Tries it towards the far post. He'll come down to Purrington with a shot, and it's in! Ben Purrington gives Charlton the lead!
Washington on that right-hand side, he's in space, Washington, into the area he goes, can he drill it home? Yes, he can!
Towards the penalty area, Connor Washington, saved by Walton, Stockley! Gives Charlton the lead!
Super work, Gilby turns inside, can he finish? Yes he can! Super goal from Charlton!
First time cross, Washington controls, Connor Washington! Charlton out the lead!
Ball into the box, Luka Washington, little touch, gets it back, Washington, and yes! Scores!
Thank you.
All right, so you guys want to do the...
Yeah, we'll have a tiebreaker
question. All right, so the tiebreaker question, and if you guys just sort of maybe text each other or something, is what is the... So we've had recently three Fill the Valley games with each one had an attendance announced, and I want to know what the total is of those three games added up. So, and I'll give you guys like literally about 30 seconds, so come up with an answer.
Got a pen.
Which three did you say? Last three? I can only remember two of them.
Yeah, Plymouth, Ipswich and Cambridge.
Oh. Plymouth, Ipswich and Cambridge.
So obviously this is the announced attendance, which was clearly false. But what was the total of the three announced attendances?
Dom, I just sent in the wrong bloody thing.
That's all right. You can do it. You can do it in there. It's fine.
the total guess is literally...
Yeah, just pick some numbers. That's got to be close. Right,
I'll go with that then, because I would say that around that.
Look at them. Just adding it up again.
Yeah.
Is it on the website, lads, or...?
I've got all the...
Yeah, boys, where are you looking to find it? Because we can't find it anywhere.
We literally just texted about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I heard a calculator going, lads. Come on.
No, it's...
Yeah, go with that then, Mark.
Yeah.
Right, so the boys have been conferring. A Dragon and Nighthawk. I mean, let's see if you can rescue some pride out of this quiz. I mean, even with the name Dragon and Nighthawk, you probably haven't. But what's your guess for the three attendances added up?
We've gone 74,529.
74,529. It's a guess. Next night, next knee slides, please. What's your guess for the tiebreaker question?
We went for 75,000.
75,000, exactly.
Yep.
So the actual attendance is, and don't forget, this is the real quiz, 77,352. So Dragon and Nighthawk, you were 2,823 under.
Absolute shambles.
Next night, next
let's make it
slides,
clear
please.
We're both wrong, though.
You were you're unlikely to get it exactly right.
I'm just saying.
Slides, please, were 2,352.
Don't be handing out kindness points just because they guessed a nice easy number.
So they
we've done the double.
So they've done the double. They've won.
Well, they haven't. They got it wrong.
Well, no.
Have we got less wrong.
Again, it's whoever gets closest. So there you go. Whoever's listened to the end for the extra tiebreaker bonus content just thinks even less of you, Tom and Nathan. You've embarrassed yourself
again.
We've been bulldozed, haven't we?
Yeah.
Bulldozed over.
Is that your Christmas ruined?
Yeah.
Oh, 100%, mate.
That's made mine.
Absolutely sick.
I'm embarrassed for you. Thank you, goodbye.
All right, see you later, you bunch of beep.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.